This episode was sponsored by Critical Dice and the Endless Bag of Dice.
Welcome to the Compendium, a resource designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing.
Yeah, let's open up as to some of the really cool things that you get by playing a half-orc, and then we'll dive into some ways that maybe you can use those traits and kind of leverage them as a character to just build a really interesting, diverse character.
Yep, let's do it. So half-orc traits, the ability score increase, strength gets +2, and the constitution gets +1. Makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. They're very physical, very martial, melee kind of characters. Do what you want, but that's kind of where they lean. We talked about this before, the age, they're going to mature around 14, live to be about 65 years old, one of the shorter lived races. Alignment, again, alignment is descriptive, not prescriptive. So half-orcs inherit a tendency towards chaos from their orc parents and are not strongly inclined towards good. Half-orcs raised among orcs and willing to live out their lives among them are usually evil. And we've kind of talked about this before, that they are products of their environment, and it doesn't seem like there's a lot of like second guessing or worrying about that. But if they're raised in an environment where you know, we typically see certain actions as evil, then they're just kind of go along with it. Like, they don't really have a strong reason to like not do that.
I also that it specifies like raised in chaos. Because chaos doesn't inherently have to be evil, and there is a chaotic alignment. Where you, I think like a chaotic neutral would be the ideal alignment for a half orc, because you were raised in that concept where chaos is just the norm. That's just mode of operating for you. And then neutral kind of comes from a full orc would tend towards the evil. But since you're part human, but you still have that voice in your head, like you're kind of right in the middle. The pendulum's not necessarily going to swing one way or the other. I mean, obviously, again, you could write your backstory to be a lawful good half-orc, which would be really interesting.
Yeah, I could see very easily them like joining some kind of divine order that helps them to, like to be a paladin or even a cleric, where they want that discipline, and they, because they feel like they need divine help to go against a divine, you know, kind of mandate or needling from Grummish. So that makes a lot of sense. They might choose like Helm or something like that, where it's very rigid and disciplined and stuff. Like, so my father-in-law is an old school ADD kid, right? Like, the stories they used to tell was that the barber wouldn't cut his hair because he wouldn't stop moving in the chair and he was going to hurt him. And so he joined the military like the second he could, because he needed that discipline in his life. Otherwise, he was going to be a basket case. And so I could see something
rigidity,
like that going on.
Yeah,
that discipline of you do the same thing the same way every time. And so I could very easily see that. But again, with alignments, do what you want. But yeah, so size, medium for half orcs, range between, you know, 5, 6, 7 feet. But the size is still medium for all intents and purposes, you know, strength categories, all that kind of good stuff. And then speed, 30 feet, not really surprising there. And then they also have dark vision. Bright light, no problem. Dim light, you see like it's bright light. And complete darkness, you see like it's dim light, but again, shades of gray.
Right. I will say, when I read that passage, which is one of, I mean, it just reinforced why we started this podcast, I thought it was implying that they have superior dark vision. Because when you read the passage, it says you have superior vision in dark or dim conditions. And I was like, wizards? Could you separate some of these words a little bit?
Yes.
Because I had to read it 3 or 4 times to be like, no, it's just regular dark vision, but they're using the word superior because it's better than other people in dark environments, which is what dark vision is. So that was just kind of like, wait, which one is it?
Just say excellent, not superior.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so they're one of the dark vision race options, which is always great. And then they also get a bonus skill. They have proficiency in the intimidation skill, which makes a lot of sense, right? Mm-hmm. This listing, I love it, is called menacing.
They just stand next to someone and growl.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, can I help you?
Guttural throat noises.
I want your snow cone. Here you go. I'm Batman. You know?
Yeah.
So Yeah, so they're intimidating just by the nature of who they are. And again, I think with the lore we talked about before, that makes perfect sense. And it doesn't mean that they are always like, you know, the muscle for a mob boss looking for a shakedown. That's just how they come across.
It would be really entertaining as a DM to set up a mechanic for someone playing a half-orc where when they're trying to do something like ask for an ice cream cone, they might unintentionally be intimidating, like, you know, making a roll for that or a check and like having to deal with the mechanics of like being scary when they're just trying to say thank you or something.
Yeah, which goes along with the whole Grummish thing too. So it's like, I want to try to do this or make a persuasion check. I got a 5. Okay, now I need you to make an intimidation check. Because what happened was that red super sketch and now they're terrified. I want to know how terrified they are. You may still get the thing you're asking for, but not the way you were hoping.
Yeah. This town now really fears you, not loves you, but you're still welcome there.
Yeah. So. You're Grog, stealer of snow cones.
Explain that one in your next tavern.
I'm cool with it. Yeah. And then this is one of the cool, very, very cool abilities. So they have something called Relentless Endurance. Basically, anything that's going to reduce them to 0 hit points but doesn't kill them outright, like, you know, Disintegration or Power Word Kill or that, like...
double damage.
The double their max hit point deficit we talked about. It instead reduces you to 1 hit point. And they can just shake it off.
Which is, especially for a level 1 character, oh my gosh, it's phenomenal.
You get a do-over, but it only works once a day.
Right.
Once per long rest. So after you kind of pop off that ability, now you have to be careful. But this is really great, like where the memes come from, where the barbarian's like, I still have 1 hit point. Let's keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, that's really, really great because it's going to save you a healing spell or possibly a resurrection.
Yeah.
But just, you know, don't overdo it too much because it could bite you in the butt. But it's great to have that. They get to fight with the net. They get to go into combat with the net.
Yeah.
Which is really great, so I like that.
But the first time they fall in the net, it gets a tear and they have to...
Yeah, they mend it every night, yeah.
I'm taking that metaphor a little too far. Like we do.
Flying Graysons. Okay, so then they have Savage Attacks. So what this is basically it lets them do more damage on critical hits with melee weapons.
It's also amazing.
Also amazing, yeah. And so anytime they do a crit with a melee attack, then they can take whatever the weapon damage was from that weapon, the weapon die... and roll another one as well and add that to the crit.
Which is awesome, because like if you get like 1d6 for your weapon damage, if you crit, you now get 2d6s. And with this particular trait, now you get 3d6s. So you just tripled your damage in one roll. And like once you get to weapons that are maybe doing like higher dice or double dice.
Right, so like, you get into like great swords and that kind of stuff and warhammers.
Yeah.
Now you have it's 2d6, crit, 4d6... Savage Attacks, 66.
66 on one attack. Oh my gosh, it's so great.
It's so great. And I play in games where the house rule is when you crit, you do max damage, and then you roll it again to see what else happens.
Mm.
So that would be 66, 6 times 6, and now roll it again as well. So you could easily just like be doing like 75 points of damage in a row. It's just
at
ridiculous.
Level 1.
Basically, yeah, you could. Yeah.
Which is also incredible. Like, level 1 characters are usually, like, limping along, and half-orc would be over there like, I'm good, guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's go.
That's so good. Imagine Divine Smite on top of that as well. Okay, I'm not even getting there now. So I'm making new characters now in my head. And then languages, the kind of the norm, they read, write, and speak common, oh my gosh. And then they also the same for Orcish, which has a nice little note here. It says that it doesn't have its own script, but uses the Dwarven alphabet, which also prizes hard consonants and weird, harsh guttural sounds as well.
I wonder what the connection, I mean, other than obviously the like the auditory like sound of the language, I wonder if there's a connection there between dwarves and orcs, like somewhere down the line, they just like, yeah, we'll use this. Like,
yeah, I think it's just
very curious.
Yeah, it's linguistic opportunity attacks. You know, they're just like, they had the chance and they took it. And so they're just like, oh, we'll use this. Because I don't know if common lends itself towards the way they like to speak, but maybe the dwarven script and language is a bit more akin where they're like, okay, yeah, this makes sense to me. And so it was just easier to adopt that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, basically.
So you get 2 languages then.
Mm-hmm.
Which also makes sense with being a half something. Like
yeah,
with half
that's
elf.
Pretty, that's
like
pretty
you've
typical,
got
yeah.
two sides going on. So it makes sense that you would, you know, it's like when you have an American mom and a Spanish dad. Like, you're probably going to learn
both
English
languages.
And Spanish
right.
because they're both available to you in the household.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. And that always, what's great here is that it's a racial feature, but it's assumptive on cultural background.
Yeah.
And your backstory. So it may make sense at your table not to take that, but take something else. Because maybe you were raised only by your human parent who was working in a, you know, an elven city.
Yes.
Like a shipbuilder or something, right?
You speak fluent elven
and then
surprise
common.
The crap out of the next elf that you come across.
Right, and you don't speak any orc at all, you know? But who knows? So going back to the one where like they don't know anything about Grummish. Grummish whispers to them in their dreams, but only an orc.
And they don't even know what they're saying.
Oh, okay, we have to make this character now. This is great. All right.
They just keep a journal trying to, like, write out the, like, sounds that they heard, but they're so guttural that it's just, like, scribbles because it's in
calligraphy,
Elvish.
Like,
because, like,
Elvish,
how do you
yeah.
translate guttural sounds into Elvish script? And just, like, that's so great.
It's like, to pronounce this, I recommend eating a lot of cheese first. The mucus is really essential to...
Anyways,
okay,
so those are the starting level one ability racial traits. You don't get any additional traits leveling
no.
up your half orc. That's just
yeah.
what you get.
No
you
innate
get.
Magic. It's all very martially based, and there's nothing that really scales with level on this, unlike some other things like, you know, dragonborn, tieflings, drow, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Thanks for equipping the compendium. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done so already, since new episodes are published every Tuesday and Friday, or Monday and Thursdays if you guys are a patron on our Patreon account. If you enjoy listening each week, a great way to help support the show outside of contributing to Patreon is just by sharing a link to this episode with a friend. We hope to see you back in a few days for our next episode, where we will be continuing our discussion, delving further into the wonderful world of D&D.